This is HPR episode 2620 entitled, Thoughts on Language Learning Part 1. It is hosted by the ODD dummy, and is about 25 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, my thoughts on an approach to language learning, which makes sense to me. Today's show is licensed under a CC0 license.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is DODD Dummy with today's edition of Hacker Public Radio. This will be the first part of a three-part series. Well, I think it'll be at least three parts. The series will cover some of my thoughts on language learning, language instruction. I think I like language learning better. So in this first one, it will cover my thoughts on kind of a normal lesson, or how I think a normal lesson might work better for them. And so maybe I'll start off with describing the kind of person or the learner that I'm thinking about here. Thinking about the person who wants to learn the language and maybe learn it pretty well, but doesn't really have anybody that they'll talk to, or they might not have anybody they'll talk to, and definitely don't have anybody to talk to them while they're learning, you know, like not a spouse or something along those lines. And if they do have someone who knows the language that they're trying to learn, it's one of those situations where they, for basic maybe practicality, it's just easier to speak in English, and there's no real benefit to it doesn't be English, but the language the person knows. People just find it I'll talk about English because that's my language is English. But so those cases where the people, yeah, I can go almost everywhere in the world and they're going to know English better than I'm going to know their language. You know, the old joke where someone who knows three languages called a trilinguist, someone who knows two languages called a bilinguist, and someone who knows one language is called an American. That's me. But so that kind of person who doesn't really have, like, there's no motivation for work. It's not like it's going to increase the salary or even enable them to get a job. And it's not like they're thrown into an environment. And heck, maybe they're not even going to go visit a place. So it's not for the, I want to immediately learn how to go to the store and order a Pepsi or, you know, or ask for directions. And I'm not talking about that case where, hey, learn a language in a week and you can, you know, get by. So I'm thinking more along the lines of someone who kind of wants to get in the language and get the culture and kind of think in the language, which is kind of me. That's, while I don't usually spend a lot of time in languages, I've always been interested in languages. And I know several languages relatively, you know, little bit, but I learned German enough to where when I went to college, I skipped the first German class and went straight into German 2. And in high school, I had 4 years of Latin, and I did pretty well with Latin. And then some other languages I just, you know, kind of picked up a little bit here and there. But I have thought about the reasons that I didn't really learn a language well, and I never stuck with it, and you know, I never really got into it, even though I was interested. So, for example, for the past several years, 10 years maybe, Korean TV is my favorite TV to watch, mostly because it's a different culture, and they don't, they usually have only one season. There's a couple that have two seasons, so I can kind of get a story and a new culture, and I don't have to be invested for multiple years. And my favorite movies now are Indian, so mostly the Hindi language. And so both of those, Hindi I learned somewhat, the songs. I like mostly, like, I like Bollywood songs too. But but I didn't really learn much of those. Probably the first half a semester maybe, or 2 weeks of a class is probably my level there. And I really have an interest in learning Esperanto. In my mind, probably should be Esperanto as the lingua franca. Is that how you say that? I don't like the fact that it's English. I don't think it should be Chinese or Hindi, the other, or even Spanish. I think it really should be, for all the reasons the guy who made Esperanto thinks it is a good choice for the global second language, I agree with. I had German, Latin, even did a little bit of Russian. Chinese, I never thought that much about. My first wife, my first wife was German. My second wife was Thai, from Thai. And my current wife is Filipino, so she speaks Tagalog. She also speaks Taosug. So those, I had German and Thai, actually, in my house. So various languages always been an interest to me, but it just never seemed that I should learn it enough that I took the time to kind of get serious and try to get into it. It's like my first wife, she knew English pretty darn good. I mean, I think she'd been speaking it for maybe all the way in school, since she started school. But so she was pretty good in German. And my second wife, she was pretty good in English. My second wife, she was not quite as good in English. Good enough. I mean, she works in... And when she came here, learning English was more important than me trying to get Thai. So we spoke in English, and so yeah. So that's the kind of person that I think is interested, but doesn't really have someone to talk to. And I guess yeah. So I know now you can get like the Duolingo, and you can get people on the internet to talk to. But even then, what I found was those people almost always had a real reason to learn English, right? And they were almost always better than I was. And it didn't work very well either. And probably mostly because I didn't have the same kind of motivation, right? Some of these people, I mean, they were learning English it's kind of like the old story, the lion is trying to get a meal, whereas the rabbit's trying to save his life, that kind of thing. So for whatever reason, none of those ever really stuck with me. So here's how I think the language maybe would work for me. And maybe I'll give this a try now. Like I said, I really put these thoughts together, probably 6 or 7 years ago now. Maybe only five. But I didn't really... I did create one or two lessons like this, but I didn't really try it and get it to take off. But so here we go. So in a nutshell, what it occurred to me that it would be the best... The guiding principle here would be two guiding principles. The first one is to try to get the person into the other language as soon as possible, so that when they're thinking about the new language, it's in the new language, right? Most of the instruction that I've seen, and even still, I did go back and do it, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes of looking online for what the current, I heard there's Babbel now, and I forgot some of the other ones, but there's a couple of different apps and courses. And so I did take a look at that and see, and it still seems like most of the language is still being taught kind of in two languages, like kind of being taught in the source language more than I would like. And so when I was thinking about this, I got to the natural if you take that to the natural conclusion, then you could say, well, you should just start with baby books. That's from the very beginning, you're in the new language. And while I think that's true, in these days, you could probably get the baby books pretty easily, and you could go through them at their own pace. And so I don't even think that's a bad strategy. I didn't try it, but I don't think that's a bad strategy. But like, what you would want to do is compress it, right? You don't want to spend 5 years learning what a baby learns before he gets to the first school. But you really probably could accelerate that a ton. So I don't think that's a bad idea. But what I was thinking was that, you know, people are already adults, most of these people, or at least they're already know another language. And so we can make some assumptions. And one is that some of the reason the baby, and we'll call baby up to Sesame Street kind of age. So some of that is they assume you don't know much, right? So I would think to combine it with what you might get at the baby level, toddler level, but combine that and assume that the person knows, you know, has some intelligence, but still kind of follow along that same kind of concept, so that the person understands what counting is and understands like days of the weeks and months, and just, you know, already knows what vehicles are and that kind of thing. And then the other one is to focus more on vocabulary instead of grammar, sentence structure, that kind of thing. Maybe to the point of saying things that are grammatically incorrect. And really leave the language, leave the grammar side for a while until the person has a pretty decent vocabulary. And then the grammar and stuff can still be out of scope. And the reason for that is, if you get the decent vocabulary, then the person could just learn the grammar from books that already exist in the other language. So you can stop treating it as you're teaching someone the new language. You can, you know, my thinking is, and like I said already, it could be you just start off with baby books. Maybe that will even work better. I don't know, but my thinking is have a lesson plan and instruction that's designed to get them to first grade level. Or if not at the first grade level exactly, because probably by the time you're in the kindergarten or first grade, you probably already know the language pretty well, right? You've heard it for 5 years and you've been talking it for a couple. So if not that good, but close enough that you could, you know, use your life knowledge, you know, that you gain through normal life, and that you could kind of supplement that and still follow along at the kindergarten level in the new language. And then so, because from there, that's when they really kind of start, you know, get some a little bit formal instruction in language. So that's my kind of thinking. And then you could just pick up with that stuff and then go through, you know, at your own pace. And probably that's pretty fast, right? I don't think it's going to take you as someone who, especially if you're an adult. And probably if you're not an adult, if you're, a younger kid, maybe this wouldn't even be the right thing for you, you know, how to approach a new language. So I'm going to assume that this person, whoever would try this or would find it useful, is probably at least high school age. So, and that's really, let's see, is that kind of, that's kind of it. So grammar wouldn't need to be in scope, and the idea would be to build a vocabulary, and mostly in the new language, very little in the old language. And so here's how I think it could work. And note, I'm just going this from memory, and this is just things I've thought about. I don't have notes or anything like that. So this is, if you haven't figured this out by now, it's in my normal rambling style. Okay, so if just taking an example of the kind of thing I mean is, so let's say, I think you could decide how you want to do this in a couple of different ways. Like, for example, you might do one of those things where, you know, they have a list of these, is it 2,000 words is what they hits the kind of minimum fluency of a language. Well, whatever that is, you could take that list of word and say, okay, here's what is going to be our target. We want to try to get this vocabulary. And then you can break it into lessons based on that. Or another one is you could just do categories of words and then build the lessons like that. But for whatever, that's all would be to come to be decided upon if I really, you know, decided to take this and see if it could actually work. I have to figure out what that would be. But let's say that's happened and the first lesson is going to be counting. So we can assume that the person already knows what counting is, so there's not a lot to say there. And so in my mind, I wouldn't do any, like, here's, like, say in the new language or even in the old language or the current, let's go source and target. In the source or target language, here's lesson one, you know, the whole introductory thing. I would just say the idea here is each lesson is a minimum set of words in the source language. Or it's minimum set of words that are taught in both languages for that lesson. And then it's assumed that you know the words of all the previous lessons is kind of the idea. And so like for this counting lesson, you could just say one word. One, as if it were in English, one is equal to uno if we were in Spanish, or eins if it was German. So, and then the lesson after that, you say it in English, one is eins in German. And then that's it. And then you would go eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, I forget the rest of the counting. So, and then you would just count in the new language. And then that's lesson one. And then, so my thinking is, if you do that, then the person learning the language isn't translating or isn't consciously translating. So what I found was kind of took my focus away in the language learning I've done so far. And it's, I was always translating. And I was like, if I could just get thinking in the new language to begin with, then I'm not translating, and that maybe would make it seem more fluent. So that's what I was thinking, you know, just count in the new language. And then let's say we're going to, I'll give an example of what might happen in a subsequent lesson down the line. So let's say, and like I said, this is, I'm mostly concerned about vocabulary building, and I would think of it as in kind of groups of similar kinds of words. And I realize that this doesn't help you get speaking the language like conversationally very quickly, but that's really not the goal. My goal is to get it where it's ingrained and it kind of feels like it's almost like it's becoming your native language too. And so my thinking is, if you're thinking in that language to learn the language, maybe that helps that. So let's say we're going to do a lesson, I don't know, sometime later, and it's going to be on vehicles. And let's say at this point you've had the little words like a, and of course you already know how to count. And so, and let's say you know, let's say in a previous lesson you learned, well, you know what a person is. And so let's say, so in this lesson, so maybe the key word might be vehicle. And so you would say in German, a vehicle is, I don't even know what the vehicle is. I guess it's really not Auto, but yeah, see, my language learning has been crap, or at least my memory or retention. But so you would, so vehicle would be one word that you would teach in both languages, or you would teach in the source language. And then let's say maybe you want to do motor. So we'll say vehicles either have a motor or don't have a motor. And so that could be those two words would be taught in both languages in this lesson. And so you could say maybe you would do powered by in both languages. So you could say a vehicle with one wheel powered by foot is a unicycle. And so that sentence, a vehicle powered by foot, is all in the new language. Because either you learn the words in previous lessons, or they're the couple of seed words for this lesson that are taught new in both languages. And then so now the new, and then you don't teach unicycle in both languages. That's only taught in the new language, right? So you don't say a unicycle is in English. You say it all in the new language. And then so in their mind, in the new language, they're thinking it and saying it with the new language. And then you can continue from there. A vehicle with two wheels powered by humans or by foot is a bicycle. All of that's in the new language. And so you build upon there. And so my thinking is that they're thinking about the words. They're less likely to think about the words and of that definition in their source language. And they're more likely to think about it in the new language. And maybe relatively soon in this lesson plan, even those starter words, and probably could be done, you know, maybe how you design the lessons could enhance this. But at some point you can probably start teaching you don't need very many of the starter words, because you can kind of define the starter words in words you already know from the new language. And that's really how I think maybe lessons would be done. And of course, back then I was really mostly thinking about books, but books and audio. And this could totally be a podcast in my mind. This could be only audio. And I don't know that I would so much worry about the spelling. Of course, if it's in book, then you can get the spelling of the new language. But if it's an audio, then I think you could just concentrate on the pronunciation. And like I said, that's it. I don't want to keep rambling on. I've already rambled on enough. But if this idea seems interesting to you, one of two things, or a couple of things. One, let me know if this is an idea you haven't heard of but sounds interesting and maybe you want to give it a try. I wouldn't be against trying to develop some lesson plans. I just didn't get around to that. Two is, if for some reason that this is an old concept or an existing one and I just didn't see it, let me know that too. And then you can have a good laugh at my expense, because a lot of times I don't find... My Google Foo doesn't find stuff to exist until I try to tell people about it. And they're like, oh yeah, you idiot. This has been done over and over. And then I would like to maybe see some of those lessons, because that would be interesting. And also one other thing, I think that this could be an inexpensive way to create some kind of instruction for languages that don't often get, you know, that aren't the normal top 10 or 20 that most companies create lessons for. So this maybe, if you have some, you know, some language that is interesting to you, and there's normally companies don't make, you know, language instruction for the language, or at least then maybe it would be interesting to give this a try. Okay, that's enough for now. And like I said, I would be interested in feedback, and not on my podcasting quality. I'm always going to ramble. And if you don't like that, then I'm probably not the right one for you to listen to. I might take some suggestions, but don't expect me to try to get some kind of good, great production quality, really organized and laid out podcast, because that's probably never going to be. So, yep, that's enough for now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.